Mix in the Dark. Hey, what's up? It's my gang from Mix in the Dark. Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you all had some time to be with your friends and family. And it was definitely a long holiday for me. And I'm so excited to be back. I literally almost did not make it to year 2024. And let me explain why. A few days ago, I was hanging out with some friends after their film preview event. We were in Minneapolis and a friend and I were walking. It was pretty late by now. It was like 12. And at some point while we were walking, I saw a car zoom into the parking lot that happened to be right next to where we were walking. And you just know when a car zooms in like that and they aren't parked on any lines, they are just parked right in front of you, like your first instinct is to run. And indeed I did. When I looked up, I heard one of the voices say hey to me, and that was when I saw that they had masks on, and my instinct said run. And I remember whispering run to my friend while I ran across the street to a really well-lit area with businesses. She froze. She was so scared that she just froze. And I remember I just looked back and she was already on the floor. And one of the masked men, they came out of the car. I saw another one, but I think they stayed by the car. There was still another one for sure behind the wheel. And that was when I just began screaming. And I was screaming for help. I was pounding on businesses, their windows, their doors. I was trying to pull on their doors. And of course, by this time, all the businesses on that block were closed for the day. And so we were just in a really bad situation. Anyway, I looked back and I saw them corner my friend, and it seemed that they saw that I was making a ruckus across the street, so they quickly took her bag and they just drove off. It was so scary, and so I had so many thoughts about this. There were at least three of them, and they could have easily grabbed us. Their car was right next to us. And, you know, oddly enough, I've been watching I Survive episodes on YouTube while driving to and from work. And I'm not saying by me watching this that it helped my life in any way, but I am acknowledging that they are episodes about real people in real dangerous situations who have to fight for survival. And, you know, this ranges from tornadoes to, you know, serial killers coming at you. And listening to these I Survive episodes, I give the survivors so much props. So much props, because they were kidnapped, raped, they had to flee, or they were almost murdered, and they found the willpower within themselves to fight. And it amazes me because they, like, just let me tell you, when you are finally in a similar situation, you are so afraid that you can't even think. I have watched so many scary movies, and I'd always get really pissed off at the people who are running away from their killer or predator, because it seems like they are not even thinking at all. And I would replay their scene in my head and think of all the things I would have done differently. But like I said, when you're actually faced with that situation, like when you're sitting in that situation yourself, you cannot think. So whether you were fleeing like what I did, or whether you froze and fell with, you know, like what my friend did, I think those are all valid. You couldn't predict that that was going to happen to you at the moment. And so that reaction was just fine. And, you know, I remember someone telling me once that if I keep thinking about the could-haves, like I could have done this, could have done that, it would eat me away. And we actually got a chance to talk to the police about this. I felt they were good at assuring us that we did everything correctly and that it was normal to not remember something that happened so fast. And I'm going to give myself and my friend that grace that this was actually a very scary situation, and we did everything that we could for those few minutes, and we are both alive and at home. And with that in mind, and looking ahead to a new year, I truly hope everyone is safe and loved. I truly hope we do not take our lives for granted, and we prioritize ourselves and the ones we love most. This leads us into our very first story of the year. This one is about two very trying sisters. Again, Happy New Year and enjoy the story. In 2004, my younger sister and I decided that we had saved enough money to start a photography business. We had been talking about this since we were teens. We were both married women and had children, so we knew starting this business was going to be rough. We also knew that we needed lots of help from our family. We started running our business from our homes. We bought high-quality cameras, photography lights, multiple backdrops, photo props, and a closet full of costumes, ball gowns, and traditional Hmong clothing. A lot of these were donated by family members who no longer had any use for them. Business was slow, but we were hopeful. Most of our customers were friends and family. We were busier during holidays and slower all the other days. We were young and still learning lots of things. We were especially new to Photoshop, so it took some time for us to advance. We ran the business for about a year when we decided that it was time for us to rent a business space so that we could present ourselves more professionally. Our elder brother-in-law told us about a space in St. Paul, Minnesota that had many empty rooms to rent and that we could potentially rent out a space there to start as we expand our business. Both my sister and I went to check out this space. It was called New Asia at the time and was walking distance from the McDonough homes and the old Kmart on Maryland on Highway 35E. I haven't been to Minnesota in a while, but I'm pretty sure the building has been demolished by now. We met with the building owner. It was a two-floor building with working elevators and a door that required a key to go into the business spaces. The whole lower level was a full Thai restaurant with a small ballroom owned by the owner himself. Other than the unpaved parking lot, it didn't seem like a bad space. He took us to several of the units. We asked him for the cost to rent the space, and to our surprise, it was very cheap. The owner explained that he just bought the building and is trying to get it started, so he wanted to be generous, but he warned us that when business picks up, he is also going to write new contracts to up the cost of rent. Us being new to the business scene and seeing a good space for cheap, we signed a few papers and it was ready to go. We were now able to operate our business inside our very own studio. We took the next few months off to fix up the space and really promote ourselves before opening it to the public again. One day, my sister and I decided to meet up at the studio to plan our family's photo shoot. We had family ranging from newborn to retiring age, so we felt it was cost efficient for us to have them help us with a few pictures and then take a family photo after, since we haven't done that in a while. When my sister got there, the first thing she did was flash me a vase that she found. She said she found it sitting by the dumpsters outside, like it was going to be tossed, so she grabbed it. A vase is a woven bamboo basket, usually used to clean grains of rice back in the days. Now it is used to serve food and or as props at a photography studio. I remember I laughed and joked that what if it belonged to someone who actually needed it because it was still in really good shape. My sister shrugged and said that she was taking it since it was just sitting by the dumpster. Eventually, we got our planning done and decided to invite our family over this weekend. But before then, we needed to finish setting up our backdrop. Since it was getting late, we decided to come early before the family photo shoot to set it up. The weekend finally came. My sister and I met up really early like we had planned, and we got the backdrop done. When everything was set to go, she decided that she would go use the bathroom before our family got there. I stayed in the room to turn on the computers and printers to make sure that they were working properly. A few minutes later, my sister came charging back to our room. She seemed scared and flustered, so I asked her what happened. She explained that when she was using the bathroom and in a stall, she heard someone open the doors to the bathroom, walk in, turn on the water, and wash their hands. She had assumed that it was me since no one was in the building yet. She kept talking to me like it was me, but there was no answer. Finally, the water turned off and it got quiet. That was when she got spooked. She finished her business and ran out after. She didn't even wash her hands, she just came flying back. I laughed and told her that she was gross and that she needed to go wash her hands. Both her and I ended up going together. I am a big skeptic compared to my sister. I thought it was a squatter, like a homeless person who is illegally occupying the space without the business owner's knowledge, while my sister thought that maybe the building was haunted. Which I wouldn't doubt. That building was pretty creepy, but I was not going to let that bother me. We decided that we were going to call the owner later and let him know so that he can look more into it. When our family got to the studio space, I let them tour the building a bit. I showed them the restaurant downstairs and said that we could eat there after if they would like. We took the elevators upstairs since a few of them were lugging around suitcases full of their moon clothes. We got to our floor. I showed them the bathrooms and we headed down to the hall to our studio. When we got in, everyone was excited to see the space and excited for us to start services soon. This was a really fun day for most of us. We got changed into different type of clothing and set up our different scenes. We realized that at this point, we had a lot of costumes and props for girls or women, but not a lot of stuff for the guys. My sister and I noted that down. A few hours had passed. That was when my little brother, who was around 7 or 8 at the time, asked me if he could play with the boy who came with us in the elevator since he was bored. I frowned, confused, because I knew that we were the only occupants at the moment. I thought that maybe I just didn't hear him correctly. He explained again that there was a boy who was already in the elevator when we went in to go to the second floor. I asked if he got out. My brother wasn't sure. I questioned my sister if she saw a boy in the elevator when we came in. She told me that she did not remember seeing one. Maybe that's the squatter from the other day. I told my brother no and that we would be done soon. After our photos, we took the family downstairs to the restaurant. We also talked to the owner about the potential squatter. He told us that he hasn't seen a squatter, but he will sweep the building with his wife before locking up for the day. Since that day, a lot of weird things started happening, especially to my sister. First, we argued a lot about the smallest things. We would argue about dumb things like the color of a background. Our things kept disappearing or being moved around the studio, and we would blame it on each other since we were the only ones who were able to get in and out of the studio space. At the time, I questioned my sister. She hadn't been sleeping well, and so I blamed a lot of the stuff that disappeared or got moved around on her because I felt it was messing with her short-term memory. One day at the studio, while we were working on our family's prints, my sister told me about a weird dream that she had the night before. She dreamt that she was living in this building and that the studio became her home. She dreamt that she was there living with a boy around her son's age, but it wasn't her son. It was someone else. It just gave off that vibe that she was living there and taking care of her son. I asked her if she had told her husband, or more importantly, her doctor, this, and maybe stress from working at the studio so much. She just shrugged and all of a sudden shifted her mood from sulking and grumpy to super energetic and happy. She had a big smile on and started cleaning up the space. It was honestly the strangest and creepiest thing ever. It was almost like she was another person. I honestly wanted to get out of that space because she was acting so strange. I almost felt unsafe even. I saw her confidently move the printer papers to the closet storage, and as strange as it was, I thought that maybe she was just making space and feeling better, I don't know. I continued working on my own things, and that's when I heard her talking. She said, "Well, what do you want to do today? Are you hungry?" I told her that I was going to work on our flyer and that she should work on the frames. I also told her that I was hungry and that maybe we could grab lunch downstairs in a bit. She continued talking from the closet. "I don't have any meat, but we can check downstairs." My ears perked up after hearing this, realizing that maybe she wasn't talking to me.
I stood up to go to the closet to check on her. She was wide-eyed and smiling big. She had her hands out like she was holding someone else's hand. I tapped her and grabbed her shoulders to turn her toward me. It was like all of a sudden she woke up or something. She blinked a few times and said, "What was I doing again?" I looked at her confused and then asked, "Were you sleepwalking just now?" She yawned and shrugged. I told her that she really should go home and sleep. I remember phoning my mom about this because it was such a strange thing. Like all parents would say, though, my mom told me not to worry and said that everything will be okay. She was going to set up a shaman to see my sister. I felt a little more at peace upon hearing this. I think I just needed my mom to tell me that everything would be okay. One night, I woke up to a phone call from my brother-in-law. When I picked up, I could hear a panic in his voice. He asked me if my sister was at my place. I answered no. He explained that they got into an argument after dinner. He ended up sleeping on the couch. He was concerned that she had run away and wasn't picking up her cell phone. I told him that if she really was to run away, she would probably go to my parents' house and that he should check there instead. He thanked me and we hung up. I called my sister's cell phone. She picked up. "Hello," I said. "Hey, are you okay? Your husband is looking for you." There was nothing but silence at the end of the line. Through the phone, I heard her open a door and her footsteps. I don't know about you, but when you hear someone walking enough, you kind of know their footsteps and their walking pattern. I knew my sister's walking pattern because I hear her walk all the time, and those footsteps were not hers. I kept listening. I heard what sounded like an elevator ding. I heard her walking, and then a door opening, and then it got silent. It finally clicked. She's at the studio. But who was she with? I talked through the phone again, telling her to just stay there the night and that we would talk in the morning. Even though I had a big worry on my chest, I forced myself to hang up so that I could call my brother-in-law. I told him that I think she went to the studio and that he and I can go there to check on her in the morning. Early the next morning, my brother-in-law and I, along with my parents, went to the studio. I was honestly a bit skeptical about bringing all of them along with me because I wasn't sure if I was going to find her with someone else at the studio since I heard someone else's footsteps through the phone last night, or that she wasn't there at all and maybe I just heard wrong. We took the elevators and it had the same ding that I heard on the phone last night. We got to the studio doors. I unlocked it. We found my sister sprawled on the floor. The creepy thing about all of this was that she had put on some of our Hmong clothes from our closet. I screamed at the sight. You don't know how scary it is to find someone unconscious and wearing Hmong clothes. Hmong folks dress their loved ones in Hmong clothing when they pass, and that's what it reminded me of. My mom was the first to step toward her and lift her torso. My sister started waking up. Thank God she wasn't dead. She opened her eyes and made a confused face. Where am I? What are you all doing here? We looked at each other. My dad then said, you ran away from home. She looked around shocked and said, the last thing I remembered was that I went to sleep in my bed. I did a quick sweep of the studio. I noticed that our printer was opened. I walked over, kind of annoyed that she made such a mess, and I wasn't up for finding a broken printer either. I inspected the printer, and that's when I saw that there were little handprints all over the glass of the printer. I pulled my brother-in-law aside and pointed to the glass. I whispered, "That's not from us." He made a puzzled face and slowly walked away to my sister, not sharing his thoughts with me at all. We helped her up, and my brother-in-law took her home. I went to lock up and then went to find the owner so that I could ask him a few questions. He was in the kitchen of his restaurant. I asked if he ever inspected the building that last time I told him about the squatter, and he told me that he did. I then asked him straight up if he thought the building was haunted and if he ever sees or senses things around the building. He said that he actually felt more comfortable in the building knowing that my sister and I are in and around. He also told me that he had other business people who were going to start renting the space starting next week. I thanked him even though he was absolutely no help at all and left for home. My brother-in-law called me concerned about my sister. He explained that she had been sleepwalking around the house. One night, he found her sitting down in the living room in the dark. She was playing with her son's car collection like how she would with her son. Another night, he found her making a meal and setting the table meant for two. He was creeped out. Their kids have caught on and they are now afraid of her. I didn't know what to do with that information other than tell my brother-in-law to visit the doctors so that they can check her out, prescribe medication, or suggest changes in routine that may help her. He told me that my mom has set up a shaman to come and visit them in the morning, so he was going to go through with that first before the doctors. I opted to not go since I was busy with my own things. My mom called me that afternoon to not go to the studio for a while. I asked her why. My mom explained what the shaman found. The shaman saw a boy following my sister around. He isn't originally from the building, but became attached to her because she picked up something that he was attached to before. My mom asked if I knew what it was. I explained that she did pick up a vase next to the dumpsters at the building. My mom then explained that she must have picked up a vase that was meant to be abandoned. Some Hmong folks get followed by different ghosts, and sometimes they send these ghosts away on a vase. It could also be a vase thrown away after funeral practices, which are all things I've never heard of, but what do I know? The shaman negotiated with the boy for a long time. Apparently, it was a lake demon that followed someone home because he thought that it was his mom. He was then sent away by that family and attached itself onto my sister because she seemed like she would be a good mom. He agreed to let go if they were able to take him back to the lake where he came from. I don't know what else happened because that was all the information given to me, and understandably, it seemed no one wanted to talk about it. We also had the shaman come by to blast our photography studio. Even then, I was uncomfortable going into that studio. We kind of left it for a month alone. Finally, my sister and I decided that we were going to abandon the idea of a photography studio and just do our own things. We terminated our contract with the building owner. We split up all of our equipment. We donated our props and costumes to other photography studios that we know of, and we never talked about doing a studio again. It has been a very long time since that incident. My sister is doing well. She has had 4 more kids since the incident, and like I said, it's something no one really brings up anymore. Why bring up things that are already fixed and gone? Thank you for listening to Mix in the Dark. I am your host, Mai Ying. Mix in the Dark is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast series. If you have a story that you would like to share, please send it to mixinthedark@gmail.com. If there's a story that you really enjoyed, feel free to hit up my tip jar on Venmo. Just search Mix in the Dark on the business tab.